Hello, Story Guild members. This is Francis, and I wanted to let you know that today's podcast is something different. The first episode of an entirely new novel set in contemporary Milton Falls. We'll break it out into a separate podcast moving forward, but wanted to distribute the first episode today on the Friendship Album channel to make sure that you knew about it. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the story. Diary of a Mad Quilter stars avid quilter and retired third grade teacher Marnie Fetzer. Marnie lives with her husband Daryl, who just retired from his engineering job, and she's still best friends with her high school BFF, Sheila. Son Sam lives on the other side of town with his wife and toddler twins, while daughter Katie makes her home in Atlanta. These days, Marnie's life revolves around quilts and, well, quilts. New episodes of Diary of a Mad Quilter will air every other Monday. I hope you enjoy listening to this new Milton Falls story as much as I'm enjoying writing it. Diary of a Mad Quilter, Episode 1. January 2nd. I'm writing this on the porch, even though it's freezing. For the first big DIY project of his retirement, Daryl has decided to renovate the downstairs bathroom, and the racket he's making has driven me out of the house. All the porch furniture is in the garage, so I'm sitting on a bread cooler and balancing this journal on my lap, which, future reader, is why my handwriting is so bad. I have mixed feelings about the bathroom remodel. On the one hand, that bathroom hasn't been updated since 1987, and I've been saying for years it's time for a new look. The days of country cottage blue are long gone, my friends. On the other hand, I can't imagine this turning out well. Daryl's carpentry skills are impressive. His plumbing know-how, a little less so. Still, I'm glad he has a project to keep him busy. He's been at loose ends ever since he retired 2 months ago. Well, that's not entirely true. Christmas kept him busy. He took Tyler and Taylor to every Christmas event in a 20-mile radius. Christmas parades and Christmas tree lightings and Santa trains and, oh, just everything. Jessica actually started hinting that Daryl could take care of the boys on the days that she works, but I put my foot down. I'm not against babysitting my grandchildren. Far from it. I am happy to take the boys for the day or even a weekend. But all day, 3 days a week, I'm not up for that. Not everyone feels that way, I know. A lot of the girls in my guild love having their grandchildren stay with them for weeks at a time, even if it interferes with their quilting. I don't let anything interfere with my quilting. Guild last night was interesting, as always. Pat was out of town, so our VP, Lynn, ran the show. I love Lynn, but she doesn't know how to control a crowd, and the Ashland County Peacemakers can be a rowdy bunch given half a chance. It doesn't help that Marianne Knight and her gang get together for dinner and drinks at Applebee's before our monthly meetings. Better keep her away from the rotary cutters, Sheila whispered to me when we saw Marianne last night. It was true. The woman definitely looked tipsy. Anyway, Sheila and I got there a few minutes late. We actually pulled into the parking lot 5 minutes early, but we sat in Sheila's car discussing Carrie's latest experience on OkCupid. Suffice to say, it wasn't good. But then Carrie's always had bad luck with men. As Sheila says, her older two girls were always lucky in love. The younger two, not so much. I can't express how grateful I am for the fact that I'm not 20 and looking for romance on a dating app. I met Daryl at a Doobie Brothers concert in 1976 when you could still meet people by just going out with your friends. I remember everything like it happened yesterday. I innocently asked Sheila what a doobie was. I guess I was yelling a little so she could hear me over the music because everyone around us laughed. Everyone except for Daryl, who was standing behind me. He tapped my shoulder and said, "A doobie is a marijuana cigarette. A lot of people don't know that." Judging by the laughter, I'd say a lot of people did know that, but I appreciated that Daryl was trying to make me feel okay about being so dumb. Anyway, there's a lot to discuss when you start talking about Carrie's love life, so Sheila and I ended up being a few minutes late to the meeting. When we walked in the room, Lynn was standing at the podium looking like she was thinking about retiring her vice presidency and moving to New Zealand. Marianne Knight and her gang were rummaging through the door prize bags, which is strictly for Bolton. Pat would have never stood for it, but Lynn looked at a loss as to what to do. She also looked like she was about to cry. "I bet nobody would notice if I pocketed a couple of these fat quarters," Marianne said in a loud fake whisper to her friends. Just then, Betsy Wiggins burst into the room. "Leave those alone," she bellowed as she hurried over to where Marianne was making her felonious intentions clear. "How many times do I have to tell you, Marianne? Half of the fun of the door prizes is that no one knows what's in the bags." "Oh, chillax, Betsy," Marianne said, because Marianne makes a point of using whatever she thinks the current slang is, although she's usually at least half a decade behind. "I have to admit, I find it sort of funny, but at the same time, I don't want to encourage her by laughing. Marianne is one of those people best left unencouraged." "I will not chillax." Betsy turned and waved to Lynn. "You want to get started, hon? The natives are clearly restless." Lynn raised her hand and leaned toward the podium mic. "Hi, everybody. Hi. Could everybody sit down? Pat's visiting the new baby, so I guess that means I'm in charge." "Janie had her baby?" someone called, and when Lynn nodded, asked, "Boy or girl?" "Boy," Lynn said, sounding more confident now. "His name is Jackson, and he weighs 9 pounds, 7 ounces. "That's a big baby," somebody said approvingly. "Everybody's named Jackson nowadays," someone else said, less approvingly. Anyway, Lynn continued, "we've got a lot on the agenda today. First, Laura wanted to talk about dues, which are, due." From there, the meeting continued in the usual way. Reports, announcements, and reminders, etc., etc. Then Judy did a presentation on big stitch quilting. Suddenly, everyone is into hand quilting around here. "I used to hand piece when the kids were little and I needed a project to carry around, but for the last 20 years, it's been nothing but Bernina, baby." As always, show and tell was my favorite part. There were more quilts than usual, lots of the latest Bonnie Hunter mystery quilts in progress. Joanna Laverty finally finished her Dear Jane, which was incredible. I don't know if I'd have the patience, or, quite frankly, the skills, to pull it off. Not to downplay my abilities, but Dear Jane is for Olympian quilters, are Michael Phelps and Mary Lou Retton's. I've always admired Joanna, but now I stand in awe of her. Uh-oh, I can hear Daryl yelling, better run. January 3rd. Plumber here all morning. Steve whistles while he works, which is cheerful and maybe a tiny bit irritating. But what do I care? Steve let Daryl assist him, which meant I got to quilt uninterrupted until lunchtime. Sheila says she knows the new year has truly begun when I pledge my troth to the Peacemaker's annual Block of the Month quilt. I honestly believe there's an actual chance I might finish all of the blocks this time. It could happen. I'm almost done with January, and the month has just begun. I'm on a roll. At lunch, Steve told us how he became a plumber. It turns out he has a degree in economics, but he hated working in an office all day. When he realized he could make as much or more as a plumber, he quit his finance job and started his own plumbing company. He's never looked back. I worked as a carpenter back in the day, Daryl told him. I loved it, but I needed better health benefits once Marnie and I got married. But now, well, I'm ready to pick up a hammer again. Hence the bathroom remodel, Steve said. Yeah, but it turns out I don't know a lot about plumbing, Daryl said. You know just enough to be dangerous, Steve assured him. So, what else are you going to do now that you're retired? Daryl shrugged. I don't know. I think I might need a hobby, one that's less expensive than remodeling the entire house. Maybe I'll get Marnie to show me how to make a quilt. Steve laughed, but I wasn't 100% sure that Daryl was joking. I also wasn't 100% sure that a quilt-making habit was less expensive than remodeling a house. I tried to go back to sewing after lunch, but I decided I needed to write in my diary instead. Does Daryl really want to make quilts? Would I mind if he did? Would he get his own sewing machine? Would he want to work in my sewing room? Would I end up stabbing him with my scissors? Not the good ones. Daryl has always enjoyed my quilts and other people's as well. He goes with me and Sheila to the local quilt shows, and we've been to Quilt Week in Paducah twice. But he's never talked about wanting to make one. The thing is, I could never discourage another human being from quilting. What's more wonderful than making a quilt and then making another one? But I'm not sure I'm woman enough to welcome my husband into my quilting world or my sewing room. Does that make me an awful human being? January 5th. Something very strange happened today. Daryl bought a featherweight. I was looking around on Craigslist for a leaf blower, and there it was, he said when he came home this afternoon. $75 and in good condition. I don't know, Marnie. It just spoke to me. I mean, look at it. It's a beauty. I knew it would be, just from the picture. He'd just gotten back from Trader Joe's, where he met the seller in the parking lot for the exchange. Now the featherweight was sitting on the middle of the kitchen table. I had to admit that it really was beautiful. It's a 1962 Singer, Daryl told me, circling the table so he could admire his purchase from all sides. A classic. I didn't know they were still making these in 1962. I didn't either, I said. I didn't even know there were electric featherweights. I thought you had to, I don't know, push on a pedal or a treadle or something to make them go. Daryl gave me a sympathetic look. Oh, honey, the Singer featherweight has always been electric. From the very first ones that were manufactured in 1933. So are you going to put it on display or take it apart or what? I asked, turning to the sink where the lunch dishes were waiting for someone to wash them. It would be interesting to see what its insides look like. There was a moment of silence before Daryl replied. I'm going to use it to sew. I've been thinking about it, and I've decided I'd like to learn how to quilt. I thought I could start with new quilts for the twins. Jessica says the ones you gave them for their birthday last year are starting to get worn out. That's because the boys drag them everywhere, I told him. But I can make them new quilts. I don't mind. I don't know why I said that. One of my New Year's resolutions was no more quilts for the twins until they're old enough to appreciate quilts. Say when they're 30. Maybe 35. Okay, I know I'll never stick to that, but I thought maybe I'd wait at least until Halloween. You've got too many other things to do, Daryl said. Don't forget it's almost time to start on your show quilt. Big sigh, my show quilt. The deadline to enter quilts into the Peacemaker's annual show is June 1st. And I don't have the vaguest idea of what I want to make. It has to be original, and I want it to be amazing. So far, inspiration has eluded me. Still, I need to get started, and making quilts for Taylor and Tyler would definitely get in the way of making any progress. I looked at the singer. It was the first time I ever had anything resembling mixed feelings about a sewing machine. Where exactly did Daryl plan to put it? He wasn't planning on leaving it in the kitchen, was he? He wasn't planning on finding a place for it in my sewing room, was he? And if so, could this marriage be saved? In case you're worried, I'm going to make a sewing space in the corner of the man cave, Daryl said. He began packing the machine back into its box. I have no plans for taking over your sewing room. I laughed an unconvincing laugh. Oh, you'd be more than welcome to work in my sewing room. Of course, I do listen to podcasts the whole time I'm in there. You know, like the off-kilter quilt and postmenopausal and loving it. You're making those up, Daryl said, laughing. Not the first one, but okay. The second one is make-believe, I told him. Although I bet there are some great podcasts for those of us who have been through the change. Daryl held up a hand. I've been through menopause once. I don't want to relive it. You witnessed my menopause, I corrected him. That's very different than going through it. I took notes, Marnie, Daryl said. It was bad. He was right. It was bad. Everybody suffered. Daryl started for his study. So, you want to go fabric shopping in the morning? I'm buying. Free fabric, I said, filling up the sink with hot water. Say no more. The Cozy Quilter opens at 10. And then I realized Daryl was about to learn how much fabric really costs. This could be bad. Really bad. January 6th. Katie called tonight. She's decided to attend QuiltCon for the first time. It makes me so happy that my daughter has caught the quilting bug. I have to admit that I'm still getting used to the fact that she's a modern quilter. There are a few modern quilters in the Peacemakers, and sometimes I think they find the rest of us boring. Behind the times. Maybe I'm projecting. Maybe I think my quilts are boring and behind the times. Something to think about, I guess. But even if it's true, I don't see myself becoming a modern quilter anytime soon. I love traditional quilts. I love blocks. I love patterns. I need patterns. When it comes to math and measuring, I should not be left to my own devices. Don't get me wrong, I really do love Katie's modern quilts. She leans toward a bright and happy palette, and last summer she learned how to sew curved pieces. I'm careful not to say this to her, but I already see her trending toward more traditional quilts. When she moved into her new apartment in Atlanta, I sent her an antique orange peel quilt I'd found on eBay, with the caveat that the cats could not use it as their bed. Sheila laughed when I told her that. "Those cats own Katie," she said, which is the absolute truth. Anyway, when Katie opened the package, she called me right away. "You've gone modern," she squealed, "and you're repurposing old fabric. That is so cool, Mom." That's when I explained that the orange peel quilt was probably made in the 1920s or 30s, and there was nothing modern about it. Or, to put it another way, which I didn't do with Katie because we were having such a nice conversation, a lot of modern quilts strike me as pretty old-fashioned. That's a conversation for another day. Katie wants me to join her at QuiltCon, and maybe I will. After all, it's not often I get to spend one-on-one time with my daughter, though it's true I've seen her a lot more since her divorce. Poor Katie. She and Matthew were so happy before they got married and so miserable from the moment they said, "I do." 6 years of trying to work something out that so clearly wasn't going to ever work out. Well, I don't want to dwell on it. It's too sad. And now Matthew's getting married again, and his girlfriend is pregnant. Stop. Let it go. So anyway, Katie called because she was excited about her decision to go to QuiltCon and excited about quilts in general. "I just wanted to thank you, Mom. Thank you for giving me a sewing machine when my life was falling apart. It saved me." I understood perfectly. Quilting got me through 2 miscarriages and Sam's leukemia when he was 12. Back in the days before childhood leukemia was still really scary. I mean, I know it's scary now. No kind of cancer isn't scary, especially when it's your kid who has it. But back then, chances of surviving weren't as good as they are these days. Anyway, I spent a lot of time sitting next to Sam's hospital bed stitching simple blocks, 9 patches and 4 squares, just anything to keep me from melting into a puddle of anxiety. Okay, why did I bring this up? I'm making myself sad. Oh yes, my happy daughter and her happy quilts. She's been sending pictures all day of quilts she wants to make this year. I showed a few to Daryl at lunch, and you know what he said? "Some of these look like they were inspired by Amish quilts, don't you think?" I nearly choked on my turkey sandwich. "How do you know about Amish quilts?" "I've been doing research, quilt history, that sort of thing." "Where did you say Katie's going?" "QuiltCon, next month. It's the annual Modern Quilt Guild show." Daryl picked up his phone and started tapping. "Let's see. Hashtag QuiltCon. Yep, here we are." "What are you searching?" I asked. "Instagram," Daryl told me. "Does Katie have an Instagram account?" I shrugged. "Probably. Text her and find out." More tapping, a few seconds of waiting, and then a ping. "Yep, she sure does," Daryl said, and then tapped some more. "Quilt Diva Katie. I like it." He spent the next 5 minutes scrolling through pictures of modern quilts, Katie's, and others. Lots of murmurs of delight and lots of affirmative head shaking. Finally, he looked up at me and said, "I like modern quilting. It's a very fresh aesthetic." "Sure, in its way," I told him as I stole a potato chip from his plate. "I'm going to make one. Do you have any solid color fabrics I could borrow? It looks like the modern quilters don't use many prints." "Katie says that's changing," I informed him as I stood up. "But I have a bunch of solids. I'll go grab some for you." "Great," Daryl said, and there was something in his voice that told me he'd be in his sewing room. Scratch that, man cave, until dinner. Thank you so much for listening to Diary of a Mad Quilter and for being a Story Guild subscriber. Keep tuning in for more quilt fiction and more quilty fun.